Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. I gotta make sure everything's right. Okay, yeah, settings. It's always something. Computer's been a bit buggy. Anyway, speaking of buggy, people are bugging me about redundancy. Yeah. And so lots of little snarky comments. And that's part of the problem, frankly, and it's in every single part of every subject. And I could argue that, people have been arguing abortion for hundreds of years, frankly. You could argue veganism, it's like a forever argument, just never ceases to be relevant, at least to somebody who, let's say, is young and hasn't been exposed to the arguments. I suppose there's other people who haven't been exposed for other reasons. They really never thought about it or something, never ran across any aggressive vegans or something. All of these things have to be argued to the death, to forever. And it just doesn't, I wish it would go away, but it doesn't. And I wish that just a winner be declared and, you could just be done with it and say, okay, we know for sure human beings cannot possibly understand something, So I could say, I hate to make comparisons to the physics arguments, but the comparisons are there to be made. There's smart, honest people, and you can make arguments to smart, honest people, and they'll concede and say, okay, yeah, that's a good point, and that's a good point. And, there's people, Vegan Gains, for example. I'm not, an ethicist, but, I don't see how you could not be if you're rational. Basically conceding, there's no rational counter arguments. All I have to do is make the argument from, you don't have a right to gamble with somebody else's welfare, and that's the end of procreation right there, because it's clearly just gambling. You have to be lucky, and you're playing this luck game with something else's welfare. It really is, you got 10 sticks and one of them is really short. And the fact is you're going to, roll those sticks and hope for the best. And if you get the short stick and you shove it in your kid's pocket, you'll just say, oh, well, too bad. That's the way it works. Life is tough. Ha ha. Whatever glib response will be to the fact that you didn't do your kid a favor. And, they'll be dead by the time they're 25 or whatever. Lots of tragic ways, paralyzed, who knows, a decent person says, I get that, you don't have a right, you want to risk your own welfare, you want to risk your own skin, gamble with it, bet your house, on the Wheel of Fortune. On the roulette wheel, go ahead. That's your right, so to speak. As soon as you involve some other non-existent or wouldn't be existent involved in your playing, your gambling, a decent person says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that responsibility, especially if I don't have any way to fix it. It's not like I can just take, I lose $50,000 of their money. I could just take the money out of my bank account and give it to them. It's not like you could fix it. Can't fix killing your kid of cancer at 10. There's no way you fix that. So that's the problem. So you notice that, in terms of how to argue with people about basic, simple facts. And, their resistance to them is just belligerent in most cases. And, they just get defensive and they don't have a good argument. And so they just try to find some way to change the subject or say there isn't a subject, a nihilist, pretend we can't figure out what value is, and therefore can't make any judgments about anything, you know, any rational judgments. We have to say it's all subject to some sort of subjective opinion. You know, there's no such thing as torture. It's not a real thing. It's just some sort of projection. You know, the victim is just being a sucker to fall for it, to think he's being tortured, or she. You know, just too silly. I mean, these arguments are just too silly. So, yeah, I'm sorry the videos are redundant, but there's not much choice when the audience is this stupid. And, you know, like I said, it's not really stupid. It's belligerent. It's, you know, they don't want the truth. They want to live their, you know, they want to live in their delusion where what they have is really important. Like, say they had purple eyes. You know, and so there was a whole bunch of propaganda out there that purple-eyed people were special, and it was some super special origin, and, you know, it was some blah, 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 blah. And then the truth turns out that, okay, purple just means there's a lot of poo in your blood. And so your eyes go purple because you have poo in your blood, or some kind of, you know, a very negative reason for purple. You know, they're going to be like, oh, I want to live the lie, okay, where it's magical, where purple is, you know, aliens injected it or something. You know, they want some better story than the truth. And the truth isn't pretty. I mean, it is a bug planet. We're just bugs. We have a scheming intelligence. We obviously do an awful lot of scheming. And unfortunately, you know, there's just so many people who, you know, it's just all this pretense that they don't like liars because it, like, you know, just seems like everyone is now endorsed so much dishonesty and just demonstrating that it's just about cheating and stealing and, you know, it just really doesn't have anything to do with being a good bug, you know, being the best bug you can be, you know, something like that anyway. And the best bug is going to be one that gives a shit about the truth and finding it and defending it and, you know, doing their best to, you know, prevent the waste of the precious commodity of, you know, sentient experience and such. All right, take a pause. All right, so what came to mind, right? Thinking about redundancy and what the project is. And, you know, the idea is just trying to say this simple thing about reality. Now, I could describe the movie like The Matrix, and I could try to explain it to you, right? I could say, okay, well, the machines get smart enough where, you know, they decide to use humans as energy. Oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. They're not very good energy sources. So that's not going to work. I mean, they could have fixed that plot by actually doing something like, there's an old Star Trek episode where Spock's brain gets stolen, okay, and they're using his brain to run a whole big giant civilization, you know, to control the atmosphere and do this and do, you know, so they're actually, you know, using his brain for a purpose. So it probably would have made more sense if the machines kept humans alive because they were using part of the human resource as a computer network, like a supercomputer. They were tying them together and using it as a supercomputer or some kind of excuse like that. Because, yeah, it's really lame. Why would they have to be conscious if you were just using them for their biological meat purpose? But anyway, so many flaws. But the idea, the story, okay, is powerful, right? The Matrix was a powerful narrative. The whole virtual reality thing, you know, and so in a sense, antinatalism just needs that kind of well produced. You know, I have to think of the right words to describe that kind of statement in some sort of artistic form. You know, storytelling that draws people in because it has characters and it has all the formulaic elements of a little bit of a love story and then some might makes right or different themes, okay, of failure and success, and to keep people interested, underdog kind of stuff. People like that kind of, the good guy overcoming the evil and all of that crap. Now, to wrap that into a story, a narrative that basically comes up with the conclusion that, yes, the universe is better off without humans in it. It's just not easy, right? Because there's no happily ever after here. There's no big victory. And again, like all these other stories where they can just end the story by, oh, we ended the war, and they don't show what happens after that. So I've used like Romeo and Juliet as an example, that it would have been a horror movie, right? If they didn't die, then it would have been just, ooh, she gets pregnant, she gets fat, all kinds of domestic issues. Real life shit. And then the growing old and, disability and, pampers and, the whole thing turns to shit. But, they don't tell that part of the story. They don't show you that part of the movie. And so none of these movies have all that crap in them either. They just end the movie with some kind of like, and everything went along as it is, and nothing bad ever happened ever again. And, bullshit. It just popped into my head was one of the Alien movies. I guess, 17, whatever what it was. They come back and they end up in, like, France or something, and the Eiffel Tower's all broken and they're back on Earth and they've survived the aliens. And it's like, for what? To live in dystopia. Oh, great. Yeah, it just doesn't, Yeah. So some movies don't really end happily ever after, but they're also not making a statement about, the meaning of something, or they're not making a philosophical statement, so they can afford to leave you feeling empty and, dissatisfied or incomplete. So you really have to be, you have to get deeply into the subject before you start to realize, the bliss of it, I suppose. So again, I could go back to the Soylent Green example where, eating the dead is not a big deal if they're tasty potato chips and you never knew and you don't care and you can rationally understand, well, if I didn't even notice there were dead people in my potato chips, why would I care? Why is this a big issue? And considering the dilemma they were in, with the overpopulation and all that kind of crap, it seems just as reasonable as anything else, one of the more reasonable things to do, obviously. So I mean, it's not, you can feel good about things you thought might have been terribly negative. So at one time in my life, I would have said, ooh, eating people, ooh, that's terrible. And then I could find almost like great victory in being able to eat your dead, like you've defeated a silly notion, just some notional problem, not some real problem, just one that exists because you're imagining or thinking about it in the wrong context or the wrong way. So I'd say I got that way about cats. animals in general, I suppose. I mean, I always felt really bad when somebody threw cats in a bag in a stream or something or a pond, and it was like, oh, that was, they should shoot those people. And I thought about it, and then I realized, not that that's a good solution. I'm just saying it is actually a better solution than the problem of nurturing the animals and then providing no life for them, providing nowhere for them to live, or an inadequate circumstance where they're just going to be in some other horrible way killed. So something expedient and quick seems much kinder and compassionate than I'll just let them get into a bunch of fights, get parasites, get diseases, maybe die, get really sick a few times before they actually die of something. You get horribly injured, get half hit by a car, all kinds of stuff. I'll let all that kind of crap happen to it instead of, a couple of minutes of torment and torture. Instead, I'll give them a lifetime of it. So, like I said, I still don't, I don't like cheap solutions or ones that are just expedient to the person perpetrating them. Obviously, most of the people who threw the bag of kittens are people who didn't give a shit and weren't really paying any attention about any of that, these issues. They just didn't want the problem. And so they were just throwing it instead of solving it. But the idea of a humane death for kittens, is something I can feel good about. I can feel good about people who would, rather than torment them, keep them in cages for months, do surgeries on them, and then give them a very uncertain future. A quick injection and blissful non-participation. So anyway, I'm just saying that theme, although I can't say it, it's like great song singing or something, it's something you feel really super cool, great about. When I think about the alternative and the reality, and that you just basically are saved something, a bunch of grief and horror and pain and suffering, that's pretty easy to feel good about. So, I don't know how far you would want to go with these kind of examples, but, if we had some sort of better knowledge of circumstances, and so what if we did know that, somebody was going to get cancer and they were going to die horribly over a 2-year period and blah, blah. And then you had the power to do something before all that happened and just, put a bullet in the back of their head when they never saw it coming. Let's say somebody did that, some equalizer, some, like these, whatever, the semi-James Bond characters they have now, what if they did this? This was part of their job, was to go out and rescue people from their terrible fates. It would hard to be, to curse that. especially if they had the evidence of, both films to look at, the one where there's all kinds of trauma and the loved ones are all depressed and drunks and this and all kinds of terrible shit happens, and the alternative reality where, it's, you have to do the inevitable grieving, but it's not going to have all that agony of watching somebody tortured, and all the other crap that goes with dying slowly. I didn't think I'd end up there, but I'm just saying that, so it's just this idea of getting comfortable with themes that seem on their face abhorrent. But, like I said, if you think about it, it's the only, it's so much better a solution. Oh, so my brain just really pulled a button on me and just says, you know, fuck, I'm going to really fuck with you. So, you know, my sister died horribly of cancer. And, you know, I'd have to say if I had the power to, you know, have killed her in some, you know, like a plane crash or something, like you had the power to maneuver, you know, to make things happen, and you weren't going to be blamed, and nobody knew you did it. It'd be pretty tempting, right, to slide her into a plane crash, you know, instead of allowing that whole pile of shit happen. Well, anyway, so it's something. I mean, say that's sort of a, you know, a theme in a movie. I guess I haven't seen. They do some of this, like, you know, ghost stuff or spirits or, you know, the angel of death or whatever they're. What's the one that made a couple of movies like that? Well, anyway, and you know, they could do that with that kind of a theme, you know, where there's you know, the Grim Reaper is really you know, a mercy killer. You know, and engineers deaths to minimize how much pain and suffering people endure. You know, that would be interesting. But anyway, all right, take a pause. And such. All right, so I was thinking about, you know, defending your life. You know, that would be a good way to get to people a little bit, I suppose, in terms of just trying to defend all the little murders we commit in just existing, and you know, how much, like the little stuff, like you drive your car to the store or something. You're not only risking your own welfare, but you know, technically you are risking everybody else's because, yeah, you could have a heart attack or something, and you could kill somebody, or paralyze somebody, or you know, you could just have an accident, and you know, so there's a lot of crap we do that carries that risk with it. And then there's more. I was thinking about the bigger question that if I, you know, if you made some kind of AI type intelligence and shoved it inside of a probe that went into space, you know, and just obliged anything, any intelligence it banged into, to defend its existence, and just by saying, "Well, what do you accomplish? Well, you know, what's your function?" And then, what's the answer going to be? We have fun. Yeah. Well, do you have fun for good reasons? I mean, do good things make you have good feelings, or do bad things make you have good feelings? And you know, then we could get into the whole thing about what's the nature of love for most people, and what's the nature of their ambitions and their attachments and their you know, what side they root for and why they root for it. You know, why they're a Mets fan. And so then it gets me back to my Olympics argument, where I think the AI could make a pretty persuasive argument, all right, that you know, you should be able to figure out, you know, that the things that you're watching and enjoying are in fact insidiously wasteful of this precious commodity. That is, you're just making more losers than winners. So you're just creating more opportunity for negative outcomes. I mean, you could argue that, you know, people have killed themselves, you know, over failing to accomplish their athletic goals. And, you know, and just, it's just a fact that little kids are paralyzed playing football. It happens. I think some are killed every year. I think there's a statistical number. For what? For a football game. I mean, so yeah, so we could argue that a lot of the things we derive pleasure from are pretty expensive. Even movies, you know, movies have killed people, and they certainly did a lot of unpleasant things to animals in the past, you know, for the sake of the cinema. But in some respects, you could argue that because the movies often do have messages, that the message might be worth it, actually, because it might inspire enough good behavior in people, might convert enough bad people into good people, to be worth killing a few people to have. It's possible. So, I mean, nothing comes to mind. I'm not, you know, I'm seeing so few examples of anything redeeming. I mean, you know, anything truly admirable in anything anymore. So much of culture is such a lie, and that people are such hypocrites. You know, the people here just casually throw their religion at each other, you know, and how are you today? Well, God bless everything. Well, thank Jesus, everything's okay. Oh, thank Jesus, everything's okay. And then, you know, some sort of horseshit like that. And then 10 minutes later, they're lying, you know, about some other subject. And they're, you know, they're just, you know, I don't like it. But I don't, you know, there's nothing much to like about almost anybody anymore. Oh, anyway, I mean, average people, whatever average is now. Here, it's, you know, I'd say the average probably doesn't speak English. Probably. Not any comprehensible one. I mean, it's from all over. It's just, you know, there's people speaking every freaking language, walking down the sidewalk, talking all kinds of crap to their phones. But anyway, just like, what the fuck? Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but anyway, just... So I think I'll pause and get back on the subject. All right, so what popped into my head was, you know, this redundancy thing, and the fact is that I have said this thing about how, you know, we're all living just telling a story, and so all these people that I find repugnant and disgusting and ugly and, you know, all this other stuff, they're all running a story. They all have some concept of winning, okay? Few of them, you know, there's got to be some anyway. If you bumped into them on the street, would they say they wish they were never born? You know, they might answer, yeah, I wish, you know, this has just been shit, you know. And it just gets shittier and shittier, and they're just fighting because they don't want to drown in the quicksand, so they want some other way out than, you know, a lousy way out. They want a graceful exit, but they don't even know what the definition of that, how to manifest it or create something like a graceful out of this. but anyway, so, you know, it's. Obviously, I can understand that, you know, my narrative, I think, okay, so the story I'm telling, that's, you know, my silly life, I mean, it's got these elements in that I say are important, you know, that I say are important, right? Ephelism, yeah, that was important. And I could argue that all the other philosophical things that I argued about, like democracy and all these other stuff, these were important subjects. Okay, nobody paid attention. The right to die, this is really big subject, huge importance. You know, and my narrative had me somehow being a constructive, helpful influence, and it didn't work out that way so far. But that's the story I was telling, is that I'm going to somehow be a contributor to this cause and create this better outcome. So the whole, I mean, I used to, you know, my living room used to be just pictures of animals, you know, laboratory, you know, electrodes in their heads, all kinds of images, just because of, I wanted it always to be on my mind. You know, that this is really important, and you know, that we gotta we've got to find a better solution. Civilization can't afford the price it's paying in terms of the torture it's imposing to have its medicine or its, you know, this bullshit. So anyway, so those were all important subjects. And, you know, then I ran into this whole physics thing, and I'm saying, yeah, that's important, you know, you know, I'm sort of critical because nobody else gets it, and nobody else is doing anything, and no one else is saying anything needs to be said, and blah, 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 and all that crap. And so I can pretend that my narrative, okay, is superior, more meaningful, relevant, all that kind of stuff. But it wouldn't matter, right? So as they say, none of that actually happened, I would still have a narrative of a individual struggling to find peace and comfort in a, you know, world difficult to navigate, and how awkward it always is, you know, the love triangles, and it's never, nothing ever meshes or works out. Like, it's just so few people have that good fortune, you know, to be able to get to not step in some sort of trap, you know, and end up with a trap stuck on their arm for the rest of their life. There's so many ways to get ensnarled and all that crap, and to miss in some way. And misses are ugly. And, you know, it's a bad paint stroke or something. You know, it's easy to ruin the painting by just being a little bit off. You don't have to be very much off. I had one of those off lives, but I would still think, you know, it's my story, you know, and it's, you know, so I'm still invested in it. I probably would say it still had meaning. I think all those things, but yeah, it is for certain. If somebody, you know, if somebody asked me on the street, there was no point in my life where I would have said, yes, my life would be worth living, or yes, I would do it over again, or any of those. Those would never have been one of my answers, because I was always living defensively and in the context of knowing, you know, that it's kind of a lost cause. It just can't, you can't make anything out of this, and all you can try to do is minimize your losses. And so then that sort of gets to, you know, why I didn't kill myself. And it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of an ironic reason, is that I felt entitled to better than that, you know, better than some suicide thing, you know, where they're going to say, suicide is self-hatred, or suicide is violence against yourself, and all this other horse shit. And I just wasn't prepared to be labeled and to be maligned, okay, and all of those things. And I just felt entitled to, you know, gracefully say, fuck you, I'm going home. You know, and not to have to pay a price for it, because I didn't, you know, simply put, I didn't ask to be here. Didn't ask to show up here to clean up the mess, to fight for the causes, or to struggle in terms of trying to fit in, you know, and be one of them. Just didn't happen. And such. Oh, I'll be back. All right, back. So I guess I could say, on the subject of redundancy, look at the redundancy in the arguments against religion, and just how, you know, it's been argued forever, almost, and you know, for all of human civilization, I suppose there's been arguments against the people, you know, making up their silly stories, and there's been a few people who oppose it. And so then the intellectual types declared God a dead subject, or dead, and, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and they're, you know, but unfortunately, they are just a minority, the book readers. And for the rest of the human race, it wasn't even dented. And you're still fighting that. And it's unfortunately, because the, ignorance breeds, way too many of the new humans are raised, in that fog of bullshit, where they have to survive, being, fed that rotten brain food, and it's just something for them to have to overcome, to get over and realize, that there's just, there's no simple solution where somehow it'll all work out because it's all part of some plan, and it's not. And the only way there is a plan is we have to have the plan, and then we have to be able to implement it and make it happen and all that kind of crap. And yeah, that's the part I've sort of been stuck with, I guess, is that I'm supposed to be, implementing. And now, I wish, but yeah, no, the idea was is that I thought you just had to make the argument, and that was my mistake, is that, no, there's a lot more to it than just making the argument. And that's the part I don't really want to face, is the fact that you can't just say it directly. You can't just describe the truth. You have to drag people into it, and you have to try to do it with, schemes. Manipulate people emotionally. try to get on their good side. Try to be likable and all this horse shit. See, but even that doesn't, that's how painfully unqualified I am for that job, is that to do that, you have to be one of these people who thinks, link, subscribe, Patreon, I love you, that's just not going to happen. So I'm never going to have that kind of mass appeal. I'm always going to I don't say always. That's probably the wrong way to put it, because my nature is not a very aggressive personality. It's only when I get pissed off. It's hard for me to think of me as being some kind of person that is grating, or so many other people are so they have such aggressive disqualifiers as being universally applicable, or having universal appeal, being hard to hate. And I shouldn't be in the easy-to-hate category. I don't think. But whatever. It's hard for me to figure people. See, I don't see, it's like long hair. I don't even see it. These are things I don't even see could possibly matter to people. So a lot of the stuff that I guess matters, I don't see. And so, therefore, I don't know how toxic or poisonous my personality is, but whatever. It's really not the battle. So the what the battle is, like I said, you can just use the example of religion and just say, just look how hard this is, a silly fable, and we can't. You can't make a quick, easy, expedient enough argument to be done with it, to convert people instantly. It should almost be that easy to just throw a couple of key phrases at people and say, aren't we done? It's like evolution just so blows up any notion of a designed function, and it so fits in terms of, you know, all of the defects that we are blighted by. Like, they're not created by a god. God didn't decide whether you're tall or short. God didn't, you know, it's just so obvious that your construction, you know, was not part of some plan. So if you're going to complain about redundancy, I guess it's kind of a feeble complaint, because, yeah, all of this has been redundant, and it's just incrementally got to get better. And the question is, can these arguments be made in such a way, or presented in such a way, that almost any viewer could get it, all right, and understand that their faith is nonsense, and that some notion that there's some redeeming function to the bugs on Earth, that somehow bugs is a great idea. Even scheming, smart, intelligent bugs. No, it's just, it has no function. And all it can do is create this opportunity for a bunch of waste and pain and torment and horror and, you know, to the extremes. So something I sort of wanted to get to, something I thought of earlier today, was just because I was having a bit of a nerve thing. And so I thought about the fact that just how different a life I have to live than other people. And so everything they do is so, it's in such a different environment. It's like we really are walking through two completely different worlds. You know, mine, it has dioxin on the walls dripping. there is literally bear traps and, you know, sticky traps and, you know, giant fly swatters. And, I just see all the potential negatives and risks and all of that stuff. And it's been like that, you know, for most of my life. And so I was thinking about my father and me and the contrast in our personalities. Because I don't think he was hard to unnerve. You know, there was like, you never had a weak moment. It's just kind of funny because, he's intelligent and all that kind of stuff. So you'd almost say, how could he, there's an image up there of him there. He's in a chemical accident that burned a big part of his body. And so, he knew what risk was, and he knew how, he's in the hospital for 2 years, how nasty it can be. And yet he was, he was never reckless, but I just mean he just didn't seem to measure anything based on, what could happen, beyond just saying, he'll do the responsible thing. Like, he'll make sure that he's got air in his tires, and he'll make sure he double checked the chain on the trailer, and he did this, and he has a checklist, he has a thing, he's done his part, that's all he can do, and he was satisfied with that. And I was, still not satisfied that, somebody else does can interfere. Something, all this stuff is just waiting out there to fall on somebody, and the fact is it could fall on me. And I was always kind of unsettled by that fact. I haven't been comfortable. I mean, certainly I have moments where my mind is distracted and I'm comfortable. But the more aware I am of tomorrow or planning or thinking, you know, then it just becomes more and more, I'm an earthling, and oh, I'm mortal, and oh, I'm this, and oh, you know, and, you know, all that negative shit sort of fills the environment, and a lot of it is just impossible to get rid of because it's just the truth. You know, and you're just, yeah, okay, well, how do I get rid of the truth? Anyway, so it's just, I mean, it was just one of those things where, yeah, I have to realize that most people aren't living with that level of uneasiness and discomfort. And so that, you know, everything's a lot easier for them to do and to get into and to pretend it's fun and all that kind of stuff, just because the fact is there's no sense of apprehension or worry, so it's not that big a deal. I don't know how to it's just that it's, you know, you can make something taste shitty by, you know, just putting a little too much salt in or a little too much this or too much that. And a lot of things you can just throw them off a little bit, you know. And it does take a combination of mistakes or errors or crap to ruin something. I mean, to truly make it unedible. And so I'd say, I guess it's more complicated than just, you know, one thing. It's a whole bunch of different things, probably having to do with physiology and mood and hormones and, you know, all kinds of other crap that just make it harder for some people to, you know, just pass time. And especially, like I said, for me lately, it's gotten a little worse just because, you know, it's not, you're not physically the same, and you know, some things are just off, and it's just, you know, it's in kind of a vague way, and it just makes it, you know, that much more difficult to find a happy thought and a benign environment to enjoy it in. Without some, you know, the Borg of reality seeping in and just making it hard to, you know, even enjoy something simple like a pretty flower or something. But anyway, I don't know if that has much to do with the subject. But anyway, so yeah, so these videos, the redundancy, I don't know what to do about that. And because it's really just about making the argument and making it in some way that, you know, hooks people and all that kind of crap. And so, yes, I'm failing to do the hooking part, and I'm failing to maybe do it in, as you know, some sort of scientific way. But, you know, I sort of have attempted that. I mean, you know, you attempt to take it a step at a time. And I've talked about that before. I mean, I did do a few videos that way where there were just yes and no questions, and you could just go and attempt to make the argument based on how people answer yes or no questions. So I guess I could probably work on that, and something along that line anyway, and see if I can do something with that. And then, you know, there's always video game or a movie or some other story or some book or some something to work on. I'll continue doing these videos and just explain what I'm thinking and how I'm attempting to approach the problem. But it's, you know, you don't want to invest too much time in something unless you're, you know, have some indication that you can really make that work as an argument. But we'll see. So that should be enough of a video. So till the next time and such. Yeah, when I'll try not to be as redundant. We'll see. We'll see how long it takes me to get a plan. Yeah. Yeah, and then just follow the plan. Well, we'll see. And such. So, till the next time, such and so forth. And whatnot. Yeah.